I trust that's going to be one of our favorite songs. I think you'll really, once you get to how the words go and the little nuances in it, you'll really appreciate it. But the words are so powerful. Waymaker. I don't know how many of you can say that 2019 you saw God provide some ways that you didn't expect, whether it was financial or physical. We were in prayer this morning with the guys before the service, and we saw Billy pull in, and a couple guys went out and said, "I saw you drive." So he just got the okay on Friday after his stroke. We didn't think it would be that quickly. So that's a way maker. God chose to take Maureen home the other day. We were praying for a miracle. It would have taken a miracle after the aneurysm burst, but that's a way maker. Not necessarily our way, but our way's not God's way, and his way is always better, isn't it? Whatever. You can think of a bunch of different ways, but he's promise keeper. He makes promises to us, and we've been talking about those. I talked about a few of those a few weeks ago as we kicked off this series. Not this series, we ended that the other night, but looking at the King is coming and the prophecies about Christ, so many about his birth, but there's still some that need to be made. The promises need to be fulfilled, and those are all about his return, about his coming in the eternal kingdom that we're prepared for if we know Christ. So I trust that as you look ahead and as you look behind this year, you'll see even those times when, like the poem Footprints goes, when the times when you felt completely alone, you realize that when there was one pair of footprints in the sand, it was God carrying you, that he was your way maker. We had a lot of people away this morning. I know the Lewises wrote and said that they were in their daughters in Erie, but they'd be willing to help with anything for the funeral next week. And so just, again, want to keep that all in prayer. But either the last Sunday of the year or the first Sunday of the new year, we look back on the year. And we're not necessarily going to look back on the year in review, but in some ways we will. Let's just ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, we thank you that you are a way maker. You're a promise keeper. You're an eternal Father. You're an eternal presence in our life. And you're always good. And Lord, we're so grateful for that, even when with those times when we're going through it and we kind of question, are we alone? We don't see your hand protecting us. We don't see don't even feel sometimes or sense your presence. But we have the assurance that you're there. And we just pray, Lord, as we look back on the past year and look ahead to a new year, that we would honor and glorify you as a church, and Lord, as individuals, that our lives would draw people to you. There would be something about us that others would see that they want, that we would make Christianity and a relationship with you look great, because it really is. Help us not to be miserable, down Christians, always complaining. But Lord, may the joy of Christ be in our lives, and may we represent you well to a lost world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm trying to think, as I said that, I said that at the end of last year, I heard it on Family Life, I can't remember exactly how it went, when the joy of the Lord, how'd she say it, a woman called in to her in the share-a-thon last year, when the joy of the Lord is, I'll think of it after, I'm sorry, when the joy of the Lord is not my strength, the strength of the Lord will be my joy. That's how she said it. When the joy of the Lord is not my strength, which is a verse, the strength of the Lord will be my joy. Excuse me. I just trust that in this coming year that his presence will be the joy in your life. But we're going to look back a little bit to the past couple of years, actually, and see some of the things that we had committed to, and then see how we've done. And then look ahead a little bit about some things that we want to do as a congregation. But one of the things, when I first came to the church, I said we want to increase our missions budget. I think it was down below 5% when I came, and I said within 10 years I'd like to see it be at 25. I think we're right around 18, so it's definitely come up. We have a little bit more we could do with that. But that's one of the things we committed to. Last year we just said, we're going to look at the Word of God. We're going to study it. A couple years ago we did The Cure. We did the story. If you remember the story, it was the book Genesis through Revelation. We did that over about a nine-month period. When we say we're going to do things with the studies we normally do, when we did The Cure, I heard so many people comment about that. A lot of people said it was a real blessing in their lives. Some people didn't like it at all. Some people left the church because of that. But it was a great study. We did say we wanted to expand our Sunday school and our emphasis on small groups. We did do a small group study at the beginning of the year last year. We had, how many came out of that, Russ? It was like 16, 18 people came out each week. So that was a great study. We want to increase Sunday school more for different ages as well. They certainly need to work on that. We said last year that we wanted to do more outreach into the community. We've kind of done that a little bit, not well, not as much as I would like to, but we kind of have been doing. Ron came a couple weeks ago about doing some serving at the, what's it called, the homeless shelter, right, Ron? And doing meals there. So we're going to present that to the deacons next week. We've tried to do some things at the nursing home. So we need to work on that. We wanted to make our youth more of a priority and see that grow. We were blessed with the Kingdom Kids this year and the program a couple weeks ago. I trust that was a blessing to you. The kids did a great job, and I really appreciated that. So we hope that next week as Kingdom Kids start back that they'll continue on, that they just don't drop to the side now that the program's over. A couple years ago, we committed to updating our bylaws and our covenant. We did that. That is usually, I know churches take sometimes a year or more by the time they pound it all out and iron it all out, all the discussions and debates, and people say, I don't like this, I don't like this. We did that in about 4 months. We made the commitment that we're going to do it. Russ and I both got a bunch of things. We did a lot of research. We presented it to the deacons over the time, and then we presented it to the church. So that was a real blessing. Do you remember a couple years ago we said we needed to replace the windows in the church, in the room over there, and so that was done. We said last year we would like to do VBS and reach more families and do things to reach families. We didn't have a VBS this year, but whether we do that again this summer or not, but we want to reach families. And one, I always say every year, and you've probably gotten tired of hearing it, we want to have a praise team. We want to improve our music ministry. We want to have vocalists. We want to have instrumentalists up here. Obviously, I'm up here alone. There's nothing behind me. There's no drums or anything yet. So we need to do that. That's something I really want to see us commit to and eventually see God provide for us. Last year, we said we do want to do a missions conference again. We stopped it for a year or two because of our finances. Last year, we had one, and this year, we had one. And it's always a blessing. A couple years ago, I looked up one of the things I shared with you were two words that I wanted us to focus on for that coming year were passion and grace. Passion and grace. A passion that we would know God's will daily, follow his will and obey it, see the lost come to Christ, that we would have that passion to do what God wants us to do. And then we got the word grace from our study in The Cure. We wanted to be filled with grace, that we would sense God's working around us, that we would be his hand to reach a lost world so that people would come to believe like we believe. Not that we have the answers here, I'm not saying that, but we have the answers in Christ. Not believe like we believe as Draper Baptist Church, but as followers of Christ, that others would see Christ in us. This year I have a couple of other words. I want us to be ready, and I want us to be soldiers. I want us to be ready, at least I want to be ready. I want to be ready to do whatever God has for me, to say whatever God has for me. I want to be willing to go and do and say whatever God calls me to do and be willing to drop whatever I have going on to follow him and to obey him. The other one, as I said, is soldier, because I want us to be prepared, and I want us as a church to be prepared, because I really believe that Christianity is going to come under attack, even more so than it has in the past. But I just see 2020 just being a year of a turning point spiritually for our world. I really believe that missionaries are going to see people coming to Christ. I believe God's Holy Spirit is going to be poured out like never before, and we need to be ready to be part of that, that we need to be ready to be that soldier, realizing that we are in a battle, realizing that the spiritual warfare is going on all around us, and we can either be standing by the sideline and doing nothing. We can be out without the armor on and get shot and killed, or we can put the full spiritual armor on every day and be God's soldier, even in little town of Wellsboro, because, you know, there's still lost people here in Wellsboro. Anybody realize that? There's lost people here. We need to be the soldiers that God has called us to be. What I'm going to do today is rewind back to 2012. I'm going to take a message, just because the last couple of weeks have been so crazy. I don't always do this, but once in a while I'll take an old message and kind of rework it. But this is a year in review that I did back in 2012, and we're just going to kind of share some of this. So 2020 is the new year. We're at this, and I just told the guys, I don't know if any of you saw this, or either heard it on Family Life or saw it somewhere, that somebody was hoping that Barbara Walters, remember Barbara Walters? Barbara Walters used to host that TV show. They said that they wish she would be there to do a New Year's Eve program and say, when the clock strikes midnight, hello, this is Barbara Walters, and this is 2020. I thought that was pretty good. You get that? And she used to host the show 2020. I thought that would be a pretty neat thing if she would do that. But this is our verse for the day. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And if you haven't taken out your notes yet, there's some spots for you to fill in some things. But if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? I want to just dissect something. And this is, again, this cartoon was from 2012. Some of you might remember seeing it. I think I might have used it once, one other time after that. But I want you to look at this cartoon. On this side is Christians. On this side is humanism. It's the world. And I want you to look at what's crumbling. Which castle is under attack more and why? The problem, as we just read, is if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? You see, our foundation is being destroyed while over here, nothing. If you look at some of the canons, I want you to look and see some of the things that are being aimed at and some of the things that Christians are doing. If you look at this top one, that's probably the majority of Christians. If you can't see it very well, this guy at the top canon have Z's all around. He's just sleeping. He's not even, his canon is aimed down a little bit anywhere, but he's asleep at the wheel. And that's, like I said, the majority of believers. Most Christians have no idea that there's a spiritual battle going on. Or if there is one, they just think it's among their own life. That I'm just battling sin. I'm just battling decisions. I'm battling things that I face. We're not realizing that they're in a spiritual warfare against an enemy that hates us. The next one, look where he's aiming. He's not even aiming at the enemy. He's aiming at the church itself. He's aiming at Christianity. And we see that all the time, unfortunately, attacking one another. It is pretty sad that happens. We see churches fighting over the color of carpets. And that's always been a joke, but that happens. Fighting over whether we're going to use a King James Version or another version. We've switched. We're using the English. At least I'm using the English. It's in the pews there, the paperback. We still have the King James Version for people because we don't want to offend everyone. And we wanted to at least be aware that there would be people who would want to use the King James. But I use the American Standard, the New American Standard. I use the New International Version we teach to teens. So I'm not hung up on one version. There's people who hate that. There are people who don't like me for that. And that's okay. Here's one here. What's he aiming at? What are those things up there? I know they're balloons, but what do they represent? They're just kind of beliefs and teachings that stem from evolution, okay? Look at the bottom. This is kind of what we looked at before when we did this. Evolution is man decides the truth. Creation, God's word, is the truth. And that's what the church is built on. That's what our faith system is built on. But we're not attacking the belief system. We're attacking different things that are out there. And I can tell you, one balloon has burst here because he aimed at something. Maybe I don't know what it was. But all these things up here, pornography, abortion, homosexual behavior, racism, euthanasia, family breakup. I tell you, every time a balloon breaks, one or two are going to replace it. Every time we knock out a belief system and stand again, we're going to argue that abortion is wrong. And hopefully someday, maybe with through another appointment of another conservative judge, perhaps abortion will be illegal in our land. But you know what? It's still going to happen, right? There's still going to be abortions taken on. So we probably won't defeat that. Euthanasia, you don't hear that much about it anymore, but the value of life is terrible. People think if you're not productive in our nation, then you go ahead and kill them. Homosexual behavior, we never would have thought 10 years ago that an athlete changing from a man to a woman would be the athlete of the year. You would never have thought that. We have friends whose children are practicing homosexual. Some are going through the transition to go from a man to a woman or a woman to man. And we think that's terrible, and we argue about that. We fight against it. We hate racism. We hate all those things up there. But we need to realize they stem from this. They're just beliefs. They're just teachings that people have and beliefs that they have. And rather than attack that, we need to get back to what they really believe. Look at this one here. I wouldn't want to be standing next to him. He's like this one. He's attacking the church. This guy's attacking another Christian. He hasn't fired yet, or the guy wouldn't be there. But that's where he's aiming. He's aiming at another believer. And once again, we see that happening all the time in churches. It's just sad, and I'm sure you can give me some stories as well. But it's not good with Christians fighting Christians. And then the final one, this guy is shooting at his own foundation. And again, that's people looking to destroy the church because they don't agree with something that someone else teaches. So there are churches who believe that their church is the only one that's going to heaven. Their belief system is the only one that's going to get them there. There are people who believe King James Version is the only version. If you teach anything else, then you're on your way to hell. There are people who believe that anyone divorced is going to hell. They should not have any role in the church. We don't believe that. There are people who disagree about modes of baptism. Do you dunk them forward? There's some who believe you dunk them or dunk them backwards. Some who believe you dunk them forward. There's others who just believe just in sprinkling. Take some water and throw it on their face. If you don't do it the way they practice it, then you're wrong. There are some who think every church has to have a Sunday evening service. When I first came, they wanted me to do a Sunday evening service, so I did some. We had 10 or 12 people came out, and then that dropped down to 3 or 4. And then I started working with the youth groups, and people got upset with that. But you either have to have a small, if you do small groups, anything else in place for your Sunday evening service, you're wrong. Hymns versus choruses, you've all heard that. Some people would think the song we sang today. They had drums there. They had electric guitars. They had people up there. A guy was jumping up and down as he was leading worship. Oh, my goodness, that's terrible. He's dancing rather than worshiping the Lord. Community involvement is another issue. There are people who think that the teen center is an ecumenical movement that I work in, that the Lewis's work in. It's an ecumenical movement because more churches are involved than just Christian, or we're all Christian churches, but not just Baptist churches, not just like-minded. I work with Carl Linscott, who's spoken here when he brought the Teen Center ministry here. His wife and him share the pulpit, and there's people who think that's terrible. You know, you shouldn't be involved with that. Draper Baptist Church used to have that reputation as well as being a church that was like that, by the way. There are people who don't like what we're doing here because we have some men who serve in the Gideons, right? Again, when I came, you've all heard this, when I came, either it was Ron or Russ said, we're going to ask you this, we know what your answer is going to be, but we've been asked to serve on the Gideons. I said, great! And they were told before by previous leadership that you can't work with the Gideons because, again, they all come together and you have some people who might be Lutheran or might be Pentecostal in there, and it's not just Baptist churches. Draper Baptist Church used to have that reputation of being one that would get really upset because we didn't all believe the same. So rather than attacking the enemy, we attacked one another. The humanism castle, if you look at it, just look at what they have. Where are they aiming? Where is every one of their cannons aimed? at our foundation. See, they are succeeding here because the Word of God has lost any kind of respect in the world. And that has part to do because the way we represent it in the world. But they're questioning God's Word. They're making it believe that, or making people believe that, God's Word isn't really valid today. It's a bunch of fables. That people, it's not really changing lives. It doesn't really do anything. But think about how the world has changed. Just my mom said this, and I know I've said this before too. My mom said before she passed away that that her generation was going to have to take blame for some things that happened in our country because they realized that one woman years ago was trying to take Bible reading out of school, and they allowed it to happen. They just didn't think one woman could do that. And my mom said, you know, her generation has to apologize to my generation, the future generation. Think about vulgarity and sexual promiscuity that we never again would have expected to see. I'm telling you, Christians' language is pathetic. I hear Christians use words that wouldn't have been allowed on TV 25 years ago, and it's okay because they just, and we've talked about that, it's socially acceptable. Well, it's not spiritually acceptable. It's not right for believers to talk the way that they talk. Talk about abortion and euthanasia and promoting the devaluing of life. That's all coming from here. It's not just those things we need to attack. We need to attack the foundation that man makes up truth. So here's our hope and our commitment for the coming years, okay? Oh my, I don't know if you're going to be able to read these or not. It says, we choose not to focus on differences. We choose not to focus on differences. I have committed years ago when I first came that I would not criticize other ministries or other pastors publicly unless they were teaching something that was total heresy or wrong scripturally. But I, you know, because we might not agree with everything, I'm not going to attack them. I will guard our congregation from wrong doctrine and poor teaching, but I will try not to criticize other ministry publicly. And let's commit as a congregation not to talk about other ministries negatively. We should not do that. As I said, I'll protect our congregation from false teaching. If we had someone came in here and shared that virgin birth was a bogus story or just made up or that God accepts everyone and judges no one, if he was speaking, I would get up and ask him to hopefully politely, I'd ask him to sit down. But we should not be looking for the differences amongst Christians, because we can find them. We're going to find that not everybody believes the way we do. There are some good churches that I've been to that I would feel comfortable serving in, but I'm not sure I would feel comfortable with some of the things that they believe. Not that it's all wrong, but just not what I believe. But we cannot focus on the differences all the time. Let's look more for similarities. Do they believe that Jesus Christ is the only way? Do they believe that you don't get to heaven by good works? Do they believe that the Word of God is God's Word completely? Do they believe that the Holy Spirit reigns? Do they believe Christ is coming back to take back his church? If they do that, let's overlook the minor differences, okay? And that's my commitment to you as a church, and I trust I'm asking you to commit to that as well. Number two, we remember who our war is against. We remember who our war is against. If you go back to that slide, you would remember our war is not against pornography. It's not against euthanasia. Those things are teachings of it. Our war is against Satan at the bottom. It's that man is his own God. The Word of God tells us that we do not fight against flesh and blood. But I want you to read that. I want you to read it carefully. But we often attempt to put skin on Satan, don't we? Don't we? Don't we put skin on Satan? Don't we think if something's not right, it's that person who's doing it? Or it's that group of people that are against us? We tend to put skin on Satan and we forget that they're not our enemy. Satan is our enemy. Satan is the one who is behind all that foundation of the world. He's the one that all that foundation is built on. It's his teaching. It's his lies. And he hates anything about God. He hates anything about Christ. He hates anything about you and I. Number three, we pray for not fight our fellow soldiers. We pray for, not fight, our fellow soldiers. See, the saddest picture in that cartoon was when the cannons were pointed at their own people, or their own, either the flag of Christianity or the foundation. Those are the saddest pictures. We aim our guns at other people within our own army. It was an old song, probably back in the 70s. I don't even remember who sang it. I don't remember how exactly the words, but it says, don't shoot the wounded. One day you might be one. Does anybody remember that song? It was I can't remember who it was. It was a raspy voice guy, I remember. But the point was that Christians shoot their wounded all the time. And the song was, don't shoot the wounded, because one day spiritually you're going to be one of those. And I think we need to understand that, but we don't. We really don't understand it very well. Churches are being divided over stupid issues. We're being divided over nonsensical things. The length of hair. Is it okay for a woman to wear pants to church rather than a dress? That's not so much today, but there are some churches around here, and certainly up in the Corning area that still teach that if a woman wears a dress or wears pants, then she's ungodly. If her hair's not covered, she's not godly. If a pastor doesn't wear a tie to church, or the deacons when they serve, if they wear jeans or something, how ungodly that is. There are churches still that believe that. You say, in 2019, that's true? Absolutely, it's true. There's a scripture up here. Let me read it for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but the divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. So we're taking all these thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ so that we do not give Satan a foothold. And every time we argue, every time we fight against one another, every time we speak negatively of another believer, we are giving Satan a foothold in our lives. And we need to be very, very careful of that. And we need to confess that for what it really is, that sin. And folks, if you do it, you need to stop. Number four, we stand on the Word of God. We stand on the Word of God. If we permit the attacks from the world to weaken our resolve, to weaken our trust that the Word of God really is the Word of God, if we begin to take what the world is saying, and we lose our faith and our trust and our dependence on the Word of God, we no longer have the foundation, because that's what our foundation is built on. Our foundation of this Christian castle is built on the truths of God's Word. That God's Word is true from Genesis to Revelation, and every word in between, beginning to end, is God's Word. In Ephesians chapter 5, in the spiritual armor, which we talked about, I said one of our words for this year is soldier. The spiritual armor is what we're asked to put on. One of the weapons that we're asked to put on is our sword. The only offensive weapon that the Christian has is the Word of God. It's our sword. But no wonder we're fighting a losing battle, because we have so many people who are so weak in their faith, so weak in their knowledge of God's Word, so weak in their own time in God's Word. I used to ask teens this. I want to ask you as adults. If I were to take your Bible from you today, or if you walked out and left it here, how many of you would realize it right away and come back and say, I need to get that? Or assuming, let's pretend you don't have any other, you don't have 25 more at home, how long would it take you to notice your Bible wasn't there? This afternoon? Tomorrow morning when you get up to have your quiet time? If you have a quiet time? Or maybe I'll just next week when you get up to come to church, oh, I forgot my Bible, must be at church. How long would it take you to realize that your Bible wasn't there? I trust you would notice it right away. Maybe not as soon as you got home, but you would notice it sometime today, because you're going to go to pick it up, or at least tomorrow morning when you get up to have your quiet time. If you are a Christian and you are not spending time in God's Word, let me say this again. If you are a Christian and you are not spending time in God's Word, if you're not feeding on it daily, then you are not a growing Christian. If you're a Christian and you're not feeding on God's Word daily, you are not a growing Christian. How many times do you eat during the week? How many of you starved yourself all week, didn't have any Christmas cookies, no ham, no, okay, nobody. How often did you eat on Christmas Day? Don't have to answer that. How many times do you normally eat during the day? And I'm not just talking about big meals, but I mean snacks and all that stuff in between. You eat constantly through the day, and that's what God talks about, meditating on his word, having snack time in the word of God, and perhaps maybe you're reading through the Bible. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law just gave me David Tripp's devotion for the year. My brother-in-law said it's the best devotional guide he's ever read. I saw somebody had one back there a few months ago. I don't know whatever happened to it. But I had David Tripp when I was in seminary, a really good guy down in the Philadelphia area. He's a counselor. But my brother-in-law said it's going to be the best thing you've ever read. So I'm looking forward to starting. I'll start that on January 1st. But I've said this before, we can't just take what somebody else gives us and that's our only devotion time. That's our own quiet. That's a good place to start. But I always tell young people, I said, don't just read the Daily Bread, or don't just read, I used to get Sports Spectrum, was like a Daily Bread for teens. And it was all about sports and Christians who were living for the Lord. And I said, don't just take what someone else gives you. That's like me taking your food, me chewing it up and kind of spitting it out on your plate and you eating after me. That's quiet times are for me to spend time with God, allow God to speak to you. He might use David Tripp's book in my life. I trust he will. I trust it's going to be a blessing. But I need to spend time myself studying the Word of God, reading it, and trying to apply it to my life. So don't just take what anybody else teaches you. Study for yourself. And Draper Baptist is committed to teaching and living God's Word. And then number five is we need to remember the issues come from the foundations. The issues come from the foundations, that all the stuff of those balloons came from the fact that people believe that man is their own God. If you think about it, we could add a lot of different balloons to what was on there today. We could add gun control. We could add political party issues. We could add immigration. We could add impeachment. All those balloons that we're fighting against and we're saying, oh, it's so terrible. How can the Democrats do that? How can these people do that? How can people try to take away our guns? That's an amended right we have to have. But we need to realize that those are just balloons. Those are just things that come out of their belief system. And by the way, you know, if they try to take our guns away, it's not anything other than they want control. Okay, I used to be a sporting goods manager after I graduated business college before I went to Bible school. I was a manager in a very large sporting goods store. And we had handguns and rifles and everything there. We had ammo back, this is back in the day. We could get, what we needed to do was we would get the people to fill out the thing for a license. We would submit it. It would take about a week and a half for people to get it back. They didn't walk out with their guns, and people were fine. Today, you can get your license pretty quickly. But you know what? I would go in the mornings, and I would open up the store, and I never, ever once saw a gun loading itself. I never saw ammunition standing there, walking over to where the guns were, and guns hopping out of the rack and loading themselves and shooting themselves off. It was never that. Obviously, guns don't kill people. People kill people. And it all comes from the issue of man makes his own decisions. That's the foundation that the world is built on. The violence in the world comes to the foundation that man makes his own decision, that he can be true to himself, and that's all. But as we wrap this up, I want you to have this understanding that we cannot condemn anyone who does not believe like we believe. We are not judging other Christians. We're not judging the world because they're lost, because you know what? The world is bit into Satan's lie, and until they know Christ, they're going to continue to live like the world. Our commitment for 2020 needs to be that we need to be ready to do what God wants us to do, and we need to be ready to be a soldier, not to fight, but to defend the gospel of Christ. And we need to be willing to bring people to our master, the one who died for them. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the past year. I thank you for the promise of a new year. We pray, Lord, that it would be a year that we represent you well. Lord, that we don't want to see this just so Draper Baptist Church would grow, but Lord, we want to see people come to Christ through the people in our church, that each of us would be a light. Each of us would represent the gospel to our unsaved friends and not cram it down their throat, but Lord, to look to live it out and to make it real. And Lord, we pray that our church would grow as a result of that. But Lord, even more importantly, that those of us